It is 10 March. It's Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Prophecy Report. Hooray for Venezuela! That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, we got some news from Israel today, from JNS. Israeli scholars, Dead Sea study suggests valid earthquake forecast. Now, I know this doesn't have anything to do with most of the news that comes out of Israel, but everybody reports on Israel. There's 5,000 different prophecy updates, and there's people that report on the big things. And this is something that interested me, and you probably haven't heard about it. So, studying electromagnetic radiation in the vicinity of the Dead Sea at the time of a 6.3 mag aftershock felt in Turkey and Syria on February 20th suggests a valid way to forecast earthquakes. The five scholars who are from the Civil Engineering Department at Sami Shamoun College of Engineering in Ashdod and the Physics and the Earth and Environmental Sciences Department at Ben-Gurion University of the Negev looked at the measurements called fracture-induced electromagnetic radiation along a fault system stretching some 600 miles from the Red Sea to Turkey. The aftershock was one of many that followed a 7.8 mag earthquake on February 6, 2023 in Turkey. If you remember that, it was very bad. In parts of Syria, that killed about 60,000 people, displaced some 3 million, and caused an estimated $40 billion in damages. The researchers found that electromagnetic radiation decreases in volume but becomes more intense leading up to an earthquake, signifying the merging of fractures into larger units, a potential signal of an impending catastrophe. The quintet published its results in Scientific Reports, part of the suite of publications that includes Nature. Together, these results show that feasibility of FEMR measurements as a valid forecast of earthquake catastrophes. I thought that was interesting. They didn't go into any detail. Can they tell where it's going to happen or, you know, what time or anything? But they at least can have, from the article, an inkling that it's coming. I remember living in Japan in the 80s, spent 6 years there, and it's not like a hurricane where you can plan on it, or you know that a fire is coming and you can, or even a tornado, you know, they give you at least a couple minutes warning sometimes. Earthquakes happen when you're lying in bed, and no kidding, one day I remember going like this. I'm in bed, and then I just landed on my bed again. The whole house went down, and it's sudden, so it's very scary. You know, we're in the office, and all of a sudden, everything starts shaking, and you run to the doorway, and you stand under the door, because that's probably the strongest place to be under. You know, but it's one of those things that if they can at least get an idea of when it's going to happen, people can at least kind of prepare for it. So we'll see. I mean, that's very interesting to me. From World Israel News, U.S. Treasury Secretary tells Israel to bring back Palestinian workers. Yeah, like, we're going to do that. They've gone in there. They've hired, I said, what was it, 2 weeks ago? They've hired all of those people from other countries that are going to come in. The Palestinians have done this to themselves. So, anyway, Treasury Secretary Yellen urged the Israeli government to reinstate work permits for Palestinians and to release tax revenues to the Palestinian Authority. Yellen sent a letter to Prime Minister Netanyahu with a number of steps that the U.S. believes must be taken, which are vital for the economic well-being of Palestinians and Israelis alike. Well, it's not, because they can import these people from somewhere else, and that's what they've been doing. The letter was addressed to Netanyahu and not her counterpart, Finance Minister Smotrich, because it's believed that the U.S. government has blacklisted him. In addition to a request to relax the tax funds to the Palestinian Authority, a move Smotrich was not willing to make for fear the funds might reach Hamas, smart move, Yellen urged Israel to reinstate work permits and reduce barriers to commerce for Arabs who live in Judea and Samaria since the Hamas invasion of Israel on October 7th. Palestinian workers have been barred from working within pre-1967 border of Israel, and 150,000 Palestinians who live in Judea and Samaria are now unable to travel for work. In addition, 30,000 workers from Thailand left since the beginning of the war, which has created a shortage of agricultural workers. To respond to the shortage, Israel is considered bringing in tens of thousands of workers from other countries to replace the Palestinian workforce. Israeli ministers are concerned with the security problem posed by allowing Palestinians in to work, which they should be, especially since the Palestinian Authority has not condemned the Hamas massacre and recent terror attacks were committed by Palestinian workers. So why let them in? Why do it at all? From the Times of Israel, most Democrats prefer presidential candidate who won't back Israel military aid. That's the Democrat Party. From the Times of Israel, poll finds nearly one in four Americans hold anti-Semitic views. It's the highest in 60 years. Things aren't going well here. From the Times of Israel, in Kiryat Tivon, residents elect Israel's first transgender city councilor. This is why Israel, despite supporting them, because God has put them back in the land, I don't support their policies at all. I mean, they are so perverted in so many ways, especially when you go to Tel Aviv. But this kind of nonsense is just taking the Old Testament and shoving it right back in God's face. That's all it's doing. It's very, very maddening to see that. But we got some news from Christianity. Okay, I got a couple of articles on this next issue, and I'll read it, and then I'll give you just a couple short thoughts from DNYUZ. Megachurch pastor. This is about a week, maybe a week and a half ago, but we got a second article, so I decided to put them together. Megachurch pastor admits he broke the law telling church to vote Republican. The pastor of California megachurch, who endorsed GOP Senate candidate Steve Garvey during a recent sermon, admitted that in doing so, it constituted a violation of laws barring churches from supporting political candidates. Jack Hibbs, who they used to attend at his church, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Chino, California, urged his congregation to support Garvey, noting that he believes God is wanting a candidate who is pro-life. How are you voting regarding our upcoming local vote? I want to publicly, right now today, encourage all of you to vote for Steve Garvey. You've got to vote for Steve Garvey. Now, he's actually saying this in the pulpit, which is against law. I just remembered, it's against the law for me to say that in the pulpit. Hibbs then left the pulpit to make his plea for Garvey, noting that the endorsement comes from his capacity as a citizen rather than from the church. Well, it's a little too late now. Churches are barred from engaging in certain political activities to maintain their status as tax-exempt nonprofits. While pastors are allowed to discuss political issues at the pulpit, churches may not endorse or donate to specific political candidates. Pastors, however, may endorse political candidates as a citizen. In other words, I can say you shouldn't vote for any person that supports abortion. I can say that if I'm a pastor in one of these churches. I can't say you need to support John Doe because he doesn't support abortion. Got that? You can't endorse somebody. Okay, Christian Post. IRS urged to strip megachurches tax exemption after Pastor Jack Hibbs endorses Steve Garvey. Now, I like Jack Hibbs. He's a go-getter. He's, you know, I don't know his doctrine very well. I've never really heard anything that he says, but I've never heard anything bad about it. And that's an applause all by itself, because most people have something. They say, that guy is teaching this wrong. I've never heard that about him. But he is now facing this. The FFRF wrote a letter to the IRS asking the government agency to revoke the tax-exempt status of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. The letter cited comments made by Pastor Hibbs as the justification for the demand. Now, they have no choice but evaluate this now, because they have a letter from a atheist organization which is asking for it. So I don't know what's going to happen, but Line characterized Hibbs' comments as a direct violation of the rules imposed on organizations with a 501c3 status, which include churches. The letter cited the Internal Revenue Code, which states that recipients of 501c3 status cannot participate in or intervene in, including the publishing or distributing of statements. Any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for public office. In this instance, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills has breached the responsibilities of its tax-exempt status openly by endorsing a candidate for elected office. We write to respectfully request that the IRS immediately investigate, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and ensure that it no longer receives the benefits of 501c3 status, and that donations made to the church are no longer treated as tax deductible. There is a workaround for this. Suppose they strip him of his status. We're not a 501c3 church. We never will be, okay? That was from the inception. We decided we are not going to go that route. It's not something that's necessary. It's not something unless you just, you know, want big donations and stuff. However, there are people that want to give, and some people that are very wealthy that want to give that can't. And there is a way now that, like this church, for example, we can have a company that specifically deals with 501c3 be the 501c3 for this church, and it has nothing to do with this church. In other words, if you want a tax-exempt status, we're seeing if we can do it through this guy right now. It has nothing to do with this church in any way, shape, or form. He is the 501c3. All he does is he takes care of that legally. This is allowed under law. So I would ask, if somebody listens to this update, knows personally Jack Hibbs, that he can contact me, and I will tell him about this if he loses his status. I will give him the name of the person. It's all above board. There's actually a couple places that do this, but one of them is so large that I understand it causes other problems, which I won't talk about here. But this guy's been doing it for many, many years. This is his way of helping out people, and at the same time, he helps himself. So I want you to keep that in mind. If you know or if you attend at Jack Hibbs Church and he wants to hear about this, he can contact me and I will give him this information. Okay? I just am concerned about that because people tend to rely on these things, and then when they lose them, it causes other trouble for them as an organization. We never got into that, and so we will never have that problem, ever. If people want to give and get tax deduction and they go through this other company, that may be available soon. It may not be. We may decide to not do it. But right now, we're looking at it, and it's something that's viable, and it's legal. And nobody can say anything after that. What Jack Hibbs says, he can say it 10 times a day. Doesn't make any difference. So that's my appeal. And I would ask also, simply because of his status as a preacher and a pastor, who I've not heard anything bad about, that you would pray for him. Okay. I wouldn't normally do that because I, you know, you hear a lot of things when you're in the pulpit or when you're a pastor and you start checking things out and you say, I would never endorse that person. Okay. In his case, I would not do that. I would say that we need to pray for the guy because it's H-I-B-B-S. Yes, Jack Hibbs. And like I said, I've only heard good about him. And so that's its own testimony. So have him in prayer. From Breitbart, Irish bishops protest constitutional amendment abolishing all reference to motherhood. The proposed amendment diminishes the unique importance of the relationship between marriage and family in the eyes of society and state, and it is likely to lead to a weakening of the incentive for young people to marry. The so-called CARE Amendment, CARE, it's all about care in this world, would have the effect of abolishing all reference to motherhood in the Constitution and leave unacknowledged the particular and incalculable societal contribution that mothers in the home have made and continue to make in Ireland. The role of mothers should continue to be cherished in our Constitution. Irish citizens will be asked to weigh in on an amendment to Article 41, which currently defines family as founded on marriage to include other durable relationships. In other words, every perversion that you want on the planet, that's what they want. The family based on the exclusive, lifelong, and life-giving public commitment of marriage is the foundational cell of society and essential to the common good. The second proposal would change present recognition that by her life within the home, woman gives to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved, and that the state shall therefore endeavor to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labor to the neglect of their duties in the home. They want to change all that. The amendment would delete the women in the home clause and insert a new article recognizing the provision of care by members of a family to one another by reason of the bonds that exist among them, whatever that bond is. And pretty soon they're going to have people marrying dogs, and that will be the bond. No, I'm serious. We're getting there that quickly. It's unbelievable how quickly this is going.
It's a attack on the family. family.
That's what it is. It's an attack on the family, and it is to destroy the nuclear family. It is to destroy every vestige of Christianity in the West. That is the ultimate goal of this. One thing I saw this morning that the Irish Prime Minister was upset about, a couple things he didn't get. And I didn't read the article yet because I was very busy, but it may be that that was not approved, and that would be great. So we'll see in the next couple hours after church. I'll go home and I'll find that article and I'll be reading it. But it would be great if the people actually said, we're not going to go with this nonsense. I don't know, but I did see that he was in a little bit of a snit about something. Okay, we got some news from the Mideast and Africa today. From the Times of Israel, Hamas leader Sinwar, you know, this is a couple days old. I don't know if his mind has changed, but it's almost comical. Now, think of Germany in World War II, and he's completely hemmed in from all sides, and he's going to come up with the super weapon and win, right? You hear about this again and again with these people. This guy's got the same complex. Hamas leader Sinwar said to believe his forces are on road to victory against the IDF. Hamas is winning the fight in Gaza, the organization's leader in the war-torn strip told its senior officials in Qatar. They've lost, like, what, 25,000 soldiers, and Israel's lost 200, right? Okay, the Bible says that one of you will chase 1,000. Well, there you go, whatever. In early February, Hamas's exiled leadership convened in Doha, worried that the IDF was getting the better of the terror group as Israeli troops and airstrikes killed fighters and took more ground. A message from Hamas's Gaza leader, Yahya Sinwar, arrived, arguing that despite the tactical losses, Hamas had the upper hand. International pressure would force Israel to end the war, he argued, and the four battalions in Rafah were prepared for the likely IDF ground assault on the border city. It's unclear how fully Sinwar understands the reality on the battlefield, as he is thought to be hiding in tunnels. Egyptian officials cited in the article think that he has lost touch with reality, just like Hitler did. He was just out there in La La Land. The IDF says that 242 soldiers, there it is, have been killed in the past 4 months of the ground offensive in Gaza. I was wrong on the number of Hamas. While it killed around 12,000 Hamas fighters and wounded many more, it also killed 1,000 terrorists inside of Israel during the Hamas assault on October 7th. Israel believes that Hamas had around 30,000 fighters on October 7th. Hamas has altered its tactics since the November ceasefire, moving away from larger assaults of up to 30 men toward hit-and-run ambushes using small arms and RPGs. The attacks are meant to bleed Israel until it is forced to end the war, possibly as a part of a hostage deal with Hamas. Talks on such an agreement are ongoing with Israel negotiators working with U.S., Qatari, and Egyptian partners in Doha. So there you go. The guy is just out there in left field. He thinks that we've got this one. That ain't going to happen. From the Times of Israel, Iran observation satellite launched into orbit on Russian rocket. Iran announced the launch of a remote sensing and imaging satellite into orbit from Russia. The launch of Pars-1 with the Soviet Soyuz 21B launcher was broadcast live by state television in Iran. The satellite was launched from Russia's, I can't pronounce that, launch base, some 5,000 miles east of Moscow. Iran's telecom minister said Pars-1 was fully domestically developed in Iran, which he said carried out a dozen satellite launches over the past 2 years. The Iranian state TV said the 242-pound satellite has three cameras to take images for environmental, agricultural, and other purposes. It said the satellite would be put into orbit around the north and south poles, synchronized to be in the same fixed position relative to the sun, and will be fully functional after a calibration of its systems. In January, Iran said it simultaneously launched three satellites into orbit, nearly a week after a launch of research satellite by its Revolutionary Guards. So they're getting those things up there into space. From Breitbart, UN report confirms Hamas committed rape against Israelis and hostages. The UN released a report that confirmed Israeli accusations that Hamas terrorists committed rape in their attack of October 7th and added that they are also committing sexual violence against Israeli hostages now. And they want to deal with these people.
Exactly.
That is absolutely crazy.
Yep.
Now something interesting from Mongolia, from Aki. U.S. Mongolia signed memorandum of cooperation in labor sector. Yay! Joint actions will be taken to improve labor safety legislation. Join the International Labor Organization's Labor Inspection Conventions 81 and 129. Develop standards that are essential for certain occupations in the mining, heavy industry, and industrial sectors. Study international laws and regulations on the wages, pensions, and social protection of workers working in abnormal labor conditions. To conduct a surveillance study of pneumoconiosis, which is prevalent in the mining industry, to reduce work disability and improve capability of occupational physicians and inspectors of labor and social security. Actually, that's not a bad idea, okay? They're working on improving work conditions. You know, there's a point, though. There is a point where you have labor safety laws and they get way out of control. If you've ever worked in blue collar, which I was in for many years working in the wastewater business, it just is oppressive. Okay, companies can hardly afford to keep their doors open simply because of what the government says they're going to do tomorrow. Okay, it's just unbelievable. But it's good to keep people protected. I don't disagree with the premise, but they need to make sure that they don't overdo it and end up like us, because nothing will ever get done over there. From Daniel 12 Technology, from RMIT, 3D printed titanium structure shows supernatural strength. One of my friends, he attends here in the church, I won't give his name online, but he bought a 3D printer, and it is really cool. He has printed things that actually have moving parts in them, all printed at one time. They're stuck together, you can't take them, but it's just prints them, and it may leave space, and you just, unbelievable. These things are actually incredible. And what he's done for me is he's put a camera up to his 3D printer. So I can watch it all day long while it's printing all this nonsense that he makes. And then he put on music, but he does it through a different service, not YouTube, because they'll ban you if you play other people's music like this. But he put it on another service. And so we listen to the same music all day long and watch his 3D printer. So, you know, it's kind of fun, and I'm doing other things, so it's not distracting. It would be if I was trying to type a sermon. But anyway, they have got a structure that they have printed out of titanium, which is incredible. They 3D printed this design at RMIT's Advanced Manufacturing Precinct using a process called laser powder bed infusion, where layers of metal powder are melted into place using a high-powered laser beam. So this is a laser printer, basically. Testing showed the printed design, a titanium lattice cube, was 50% stronger than cast magnesium alloy WE54, the strongest alloy of similar density used in aerospace applications. So this is the strongest thing they have out there for aerospace. They now are 50% stronger with this titanium alloy. This is incredible. The new structure had effectively halved the amount of stress concentrated on the lattice's infamous weak points. The double lattice design also means any cracks are deflected along the structure, further enhancing the toughness. Study lead author said they could make this structure at the scale of several millimeters or several meters in size using different types of printers. This printability, along with the strength, biocompatibility, corrosion, and heat resistance, make it a promising candidate for many applications, from medical devices such as bone implants to aircraft or rocket parts. Compared with the strongest available cast magnesium alloy currently in the commercial applications requiring high strength and light weight, our titanium meta material with a comparable density was shown to be much stronger or less susceptible to permanent shape change under compressive loading, not to mention more feasible to manufacture. While currently resistant to temperatures as high as 350 Celsius, they believe it could be made to withstand temperatures up to 600 Celsius using more heat-resistant titanium alloys for applications in aerospace or firefighting drones. As the tech develops, it will become more accessible and the printing process will become much faster, enabling a larger audience to implement our high-strength multi-topology meta materials in their components. So very cool. It's, you know, things are developing so quickly that, you know, and just think, you've got one of these titanium things in you and they're worried about, you know, it having a weak spot. They can now take care of that. So you can be like, you know, Lee Majors, the $6 million man. All right, it's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues noted in the book of Revelation. from Yahoo. Scientists fear 100% fatal zombie deer disease. I don't know if you've heard about this. I did mention it a year or two ago. Will mutate to infect humans. There are no contingency plans. Late last year, experts confirmed Yellowstone National Park's first case of the infection, officially known as chronic wasting disease, after a deer carcass found in the Wyoming area of the park tested positive for the highly contagious disease. Now cases have been reported in deer, elk, and moose in 33 states across the U.S. as well as Canada, Norway, and South Korea. The disease damages portions of the brain and typically causes progressive loss of body condition, behavioral changes, excessive salivation, and death. It is 100% fatal. If a deer gets it, it's going to die. And there are no treatments, no vaccines. If we saw a spillover right now, meaning into humanity, we would be in free fall. There are no contingency plans for what to do or how to follow up. Scientists say the most likely way humans could contract the disease would be through consumption of infected venison. It's in 33 states. Some guy is going to shoot a deer and he's going to take it home not knowing it's infected. He's going to have dinner and it's going to be in the society. So just get ready. Get ready, folks. Watchers. England's farms suffer as one of the wettest winters devastates crops. It's already a wet place and they're saying it's wet. England's agricultural sector is facing a crisis as one of the wettest winters in decades leads to widespread flooding, destroying thousands of acres of crops, and placing significant financial pressure on farmers. Despite efforts to mitigate the damage, yields will be significantly reduced. Only about 25% of winter crops were planted due to the high rainfall. The economic fallout is profound, with one farm potentially facing a loss of 70,000 euros due to flooded lands. England's hydrological data showed that only 4 of 139 areas had normal rainfall levels in the 12 months to January 2024. The rest experienced notably to exceptionally high levels, leading to the wettest periods on record for several regions, including agriculturally rich Kent area. So there you go, trouble in England. From NTD, Pfizer filing shows 70% decline in COVID vaccine revenue. Mail Online, ABC health expert Dr. Norman Swan admits some COVID vaccines had serious side effects after the largest ever study released. Right on ABC. From JTN, Just the News sues Biden administration to force disclosure of COVID-19 vaccine safety data. The suit alleges the government has been keeping records of COVID-19 reactions in a back-end private system separate from the publicly available VAERS system. So we'll see if that suit goes through. Morality is declining. From Fox, North Carolina college reportedly required students watch film which says only white people can be racist. Students reportedly found the film offensive, divisive, and personally insulting. You think?
I guess so.
Breitbart, Argentina, Milei bans government from using woke inclusive language. Good job. Mail Online, Biden campaign says it is racist to suggest that migrant crime is rising after the murder of Locke and Riley. From Newsmax, LGBTQ plus group sues Texas AG will not turn over its trans docs. So they've subpoenaed them, told them they have to hand them over, and instead of doing that, they've sued the Texas AG. Just arrogant people. Breitbart, return of the pronoun police. Elon Musk's ex-Twitter reinstates rules against misgendering and deadnaming. So you can't misgender anymore on Twitter. Actually, I've seen nothing happen when people do. I think it's just a policy, but they're not actually enforcing it. They're just doing it to appease people. Anyway, deadnaming simply means calling somebody by a name that they no longer use. Okay, you want to hear about deadnaming? Listen to today's sermon. You'll hear about Charlie Garrett deadnaming. Okay, Zero Hedge. London theater bans white people for blacks only slave play nights. No white people. Other news, Breitbart. Georgia bill makes property owners liable for injuries in gun-free zones. What a great idea. HB 1364 says any lawful weapons carrier, that means I have a right to carry a gun, who is prohibited from carrying and who is injured shall have a cause of action against the person, business, or other entity that owns or legally controls such property. In other words, you are now taking all of the responsibility because of your policy. I like this. All we want to make sure is if you're in the store or anywhere and it has a no gun sign, then that store needs to understand that they have absolute custodial care of that person who's denied the ability to be armed. The text of HB 1364 clarifies that any posting that bars legal gun owners from being armed for self-defense must be accompanied by signage that makes clear the landowner understands his custodial duties. Any public notice posted on property that includes language which provides that weapons are prohibited on such property shall also contain language citing this code section and providing that any lawful weapons carrier who is prohibited from carrying his or her weapon, including a concealed weapon, while on such property shall be under the absolute custodial care of the person, business, or other entity that owns or legally controls such property. Great, great idea. I hope that this gets down south to Florida. Not the B. Venezuela's violent death rate has hit a two-decade low because all the criminals are migrating to a town near you. Yay for Venezuela. Venezuela's rate of violent deaths dropped to its lowest level in more than two decades, following years of massive migration as both criminals and victims fled the nation's economic crisis. The Venezuelans Violence Observatory registered 26.8 violent deaths per 100,000 inhabitants this year, from a rate of 35.3 for every 100,000 in 2022. That is its lowest since 2001, and it is one-third of what it was in 2016. Young people who have traditionally been the main victims of violence have fled, while criminals and gangs have emigrated due to the lack of opportunities to commit crimes, according to some publication I can't pronounce. That means they have moved into your neighborhood. From Breitbart. Yeah, absolutely. From Breitbart. Inflation is even worse than it looks. It would be an understatement to say that the inflation data are unlikely to produce an increase in that confidence. Inflation is rising, and the underlying indicators of price pressures suggest this is unlikely to reverse soon. The DOC released its report on personal income and expenditures. This includes the latest calculation of the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index, which is the measure the Fed uses in its 2% target and in the forecast that get published every other meeting in the Summary of Economic Projections. The PCE price index rose by 3% in January, an annualized inflation rate of 4.2%. Core PCE inflation, which excludes food and energy, rose by 0.4%, which annualizes to 5.1% inflation rate. Both measures show an acceleration of inflation from a month earlier. So it's not only bad, it's getting worse, and it's getting worse quicker. From the Washington Examiner, Pentagon is panicking over Biden's proposal that would increase water costs by $10,000 per household. Per household. Without so much as a whisper of pushback from Congress, the White House is bulldozing forward with a regulatory proposal that could cost the average household up to $10,000 extra in water cost. Your household. But it's not only Biden's campaign that is scared of this latest forefront of the president's green agenda. Biden's own Pentagon is panicking over the proposal. The World Health Organization now recommends that governments limit something that I can't pronounce, also known as PFAS, or forever plastics, that are resistant to breaking down in either the environment or the human body, at a level of 100 parts per trillion. This is the same level limited by the European Commission. Japan set a temporary PFAS limit of 50 parts per trillion in 2020, and Sweden limits most PFAS at an average of 90 parts per trillion. As far as more restrictive measures go, Canada is trying to lower its limit to 30 parts per trillion, while Denmark is trying to ban PFAS in specific isolated sectors such as in paper food packaging. And then there is America's EPA, which is trying to reduce its advisory limit of 70 parts per trillion to a hard limit of 4 parts per trillion for two prevalent types of PFAS, PFOA, and PFOS for all drinking water. In other words, Biden would decrease the Obama admin's suggested PFAS limit to a legal maximum by 94.3%. Obama was up here. He wants to go 94.3% above that. The new standard would be 4% of the World Health Organization's recommendation and less than 0.1% of that of Australia and New Zealand. According to a Black & Veatch consulting report commissioned by the AWWA, the EPA's proposed standards would increase water costs by anywhere from $80 to $11,150 per year for each household. Contrary to the EPA's estimate of $1 billion extra in annual costs added to water utilities, the AWWA argues the new standards would amount to $3.8 billion in new annual costs. But according to the Pentagon, it's not just household budgets that are at risk if this proposal succeeds. It is also our national security, which is probably why exactly they're doing this, is to destroy our nation's military. The DOD is reliant on the critically important chemical and physical properties of PFAS to provide required performance for the technologies and consumable items and articles which enable military readiness and sustainment. Read a Pentagon report sent to Congress in August. Losing access to PFAS due to overly broad regulations or severe market contractions would greatly impact national security and DOD's ability to fulfill its mission. According to the DOD, PFAS are found in its infrastructure related to information tech, critical manufacturing, healthcare, renewable energy, and transportation, including within batteries, semiconductors, and most weaponry. Even before the EPA's new standards come into effect, the Pentagon estimated it would require $39 billion to clean up PFAS contamination past the Obama-era recommendation. In total, nearly 3,000 private wells by 63 military bases are considered contaminated, with some combined levels of PFOS and PFOA at 10,000 parts per trillion, or 2,500 times higher than what the EPA would allow under these new standards. They want to break this nation, and they're doing it through the EPA and through all kinds of other modes and means. From Zero Hedge, U.S. GDP grew $334 billion in quarter four. Hooray! That growth cost $834 billion in debt. We didn't grow anything. The government is funding any growth that is out there. The only growth on the books is government-funded growth, and it's costing us $834 billion in debt for one quarter. From the Gateway Pundit, Macy's closing 150 stores nationwide. San Francisco store says rampant shoplifting to blame for closing, which means Democrats to blame for closing. Yeah. Breitbart, Joe Biden's White House begins referring to illegal aliens as newcomers. From the Gateway Pundit, massive groups of military-age males from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, India, Pakistan, Nepal, and more filmed traveling through the Darien Gap in Panama to be flown into the U.S. by Biden regime. Directly flown. Terrorists from other nations being flown directly into the U.S. Gateway Pundit, Ben Berquam reports from Darien Gap that U.S. is funding processing centers in South America and flying illegals into America before they reach the border. From the Post-Millennial, Northern border invasion. Chinese nationals arrested crossing into Maine. We're under siege here. Yeah. This is a nation under siege right now. And people are enjoying this. They're thinking this is good. We're going to vote for four more years of this insane human being in the White House. Okay, who said it? Debts are like children, begot with pleasure, but brought forth with pain. Molaire. Anytime you see somebody with a last name that says his whole name, that guy's pretty famous. Molaire. Okay. Got a Lesrick here for you. Let's see if we can figure out what's going on. Or if you can figure out what Les is saying. The FFRF don't know jack. Think deductible cash he should lack. Who the heck wants a troll when it matters the soul? God should spank them and never look back. There you go. I think you know which one he's talking about. All right. I can't give you any happy news today. I'm just so physically tired today that this is happy. The reason why I'm so tired today is because I've had a long week. I did something I haven't done in years, is I actually typed a second sermon this week. Monday is all sermon typing day. It's usually 15 hours of just typing sermons. But I was so excited about the ending of the last sermon, and the next passage is very short. It's the sacrifice of Jephthah's daughter. You've all read that passage. If you've read your Bible once, you know what it's referring to. His daughter comes out, and she is the first one out the door, and he made a vow that he would sacrifice her. I was so excited. I said, I have to know what this is picturing. So I did it. It took me two full days to do and part of another one, and it got done. But I'm absolutely exhausted because I had to make up all of that time that I spent in that sermon with my regular work. And so this week has just been long. But that's happy because we get to know in 11 weeks what happened to Jephthah's daughter, and what is that picturing in redemptive history? And it's cool, I'll give you that much. Okay, got some irony, we'll be done. Mail online. America's dumbest cop. Mississippi officer is arrested for shoplifting in uniform after being caught stealing $140 pair of shoes from a Dick's Sporting Goods. Yes! Such is the world in which we live, so from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG Prophecy Report for the week.